dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee.
Well, good morning, and we want to welcome you this morning to Clement Methodist Church. If you're visiting, we welcome you. If you're watching online, we welcome you this morning. Just a few announcements to be aware of. First is, don't forget about poinsettia orders. Christmas is around the corner, and you have this Sunday and next Sunday to order your poinsettias. So make sure that you get your order form in the back or at the Welcome Center. There's an envelope. You'll put it in. You can put it in the offering plate or slide it through the opening in the office window, and we'll make sure we get that. But you have this week and next week to get those orders in for poinsettias. Thanksgiving is 2 weeks away, and we are in need of individuals to help serve. There is a sign-up board right by the Welcome Center. Also, we need individuals to provide desserts for the meal. So if you're not able to serve, maybe you can bake a pumpkin pie, an apple pie, a cherry pie, any type of pie you want to bake, and just deliver it, and that way we can have that available for our Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving Day. And there is a little sign-up sheet as well by the Welcome Center for anybody that would like to provide a dessert for Thanksgiving, so we know about how many desserts that we will have. We do need turkeys also. So if you have a turkey that you're willing to donate or have a slip for a free turkey, please see Charles after the service today to let him know, so that way he can get a count for how many turkeys we will be expecting, and then we'll know how many we'll have to go purchase for the meal. So please, if you have a turkey and you're not going to use it, we would love to have it for that meal on Thanksgiving Day. Also want to remind everybody that out in the credenza is different things, from the birthday sheets from November, new directory that was printed, and other information regarding what's coming up here at Columbia Methodist Church. Encourage you to take that information. Also, Advent is around the corner too. The first Sunday of Advent, is the last Sunday of November. And so we need individuals to light the Advent wreath each time during the service. There's a sign-up board for that as well by the Welcome Center. So if you would like to light the Advent wreath, go ahead and just put your name beside it. I'll provide you with the information and let you know exactly what you'll be doing. It's a very simple thing to do during the service, but it's an amazing way to prepare us for Advent and for the coming of our Lord and Savior in Christmas time as we get together and we are reminded about preparing our hearts for the arrival of Jesus. So please prayerfully consider just taking a Sunday just to light the Advent. There's four Sundays, so we'd love to have you, plus Christmas Eve. So we'd love to have you do that for us. We just celebrated Veterans Day on Friday, and it's a time in which we want to celebrate in our country and in our church all those who have served and are serving, who have given their lives and have put their lives on the front line of our country to protect our freedoms, but not just our freedoms, but have gone around the world to fight for freedoms of other individuals, that they go where they are told to go without asking because they have given their lives to serve and to serve others so that others might be able to have freedom as well. So this morning, as we continue our worship together, we want to pause for a minute and we want to recognize our veterans and give thanks to them. So this morning, if you would bring your attention to the screen as we have a video that will be honoring our veterans. And if you are a veteran or you are currently serving in any of the armed forces, would you please stand at this time so we can acknowledge your service that you have given to our country? And as we continue this morning, let us not take the freedom we have for granted. We have the freedom because of our veterans and those currently serving that enable us to come and worship freely this morning, but we also have the freedom that comes in Christ and the freedom that he gives us each day. So let us continue to stand this morning and let us continue to give thanks and praise to our Lord and Savior as we are thankful for the freedom that we can enjoy today. Let us worship together.
Please stand.
Come on.
as he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days. Because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll face life's final war with God's people said,
amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Just two reminders again, right after the service is choir practice for Christmas Eve. If you were not here last week, you can still join the practice right after the service, right up front. If you have questions, you can see Melody, but again, right after service, Christmas Eve practice. And those that are able to attend the special church council meeting will be meeting in the Senior Center for that. So if you can join us for the Senior Center meeting regarding the special church council meeting, we'll be in the Senior Center. Won't be long, probably about 10, 15 minutes for that meeting after the church. As we come to God in prayer this morning, I just want to be thinking about Janet Palmer's family. Janet Palmer passed away on Thursday during the day. She was in a nursing home in Ephrata, and I believe she was 100 years old, if I am correct, one of our longest members here at the church. So please keep Janet's family in your thoughts and prayers. The service will be at Craft on Wednesday, 11 o'clock, with visitation at 10 o'clock. So if you would like to come to that service at 11 at Craft, and then a viewing at 10 o'clock in the morning. Let us go to God and let us pray this morning. Lord, we come before you now, and we thank you, God, for allowing us to come in your presence. We give you thanks, God, for allowing us to be called your children. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for loving us and never letting go of us. Even when we try to run, you are there searching for us and seeking after us. We give you thanks, God, for providing all of our needs and taking care of us. We give you thanks, God, for how you're working in our community and our church. We give you thanks, God, for all you have done for us, the things we might take for granted at times. And we come this morning before you and we ask, Lord, that if there's anything in any of our lives that is hindering our relationship with you, that we might confess that to you this morning so that we might again be able to experience that relationship, that love, and that feeling of just you wrapping your arms around us and carrying us through each and every day. We come before you and give thanks, God, that we can face every day because you live, because you overcame sin and you overcame death. And there is more to come. There is the best yet to come, God. Because you live, we will see you once again in eternity. No more pain, no more suffering, God. So we give you thanks, God, that the best is yet to come. This isn't it. There is more to come. So thank you, God, for that hope that you give us and the promise of eternal life. We pray that you would pour your Spirit out upon the offering that was collected this morning, Lord, and that you would use that to continue to build your kingdom here in Columbia and beyond. We give you thanks, God, for all you're doing in our lives. So, God, we come now and humble ourselves before you. And we come, Lord, and we give ourselves as a sacrifice to you this morning, that you might be magnified, not us, but you. That's you that we are magnifying, God. Not anything of ourselves, not any works of ourselves should we boast, God, but only in Christ Jesus for the redemption and salvation you give us. And so, God, as we continue to worship you, it's our prayer that you might be magnified today. Amen.
For creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry, then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. And were the whole earth echoing his eminence, his name would burst from sea and sky, from rivers to the mountaintops, we'd hear Christ be magnified.
Thank you, worship team. Let us pray together this morning. Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight this morning, O Lord. Amen. We will be continuing our sermon series on baggage. And last week, if you remember, if you were here, we talked about that backpack that I had on the entire sermon when I preached it, and having to take that backpack off and lay it before the altar and give it to God, and how that backpack represented all of my failures as an individual that sometimes I like to hold on to because it becomes a part of who I am instead of giving it up. And so today we're going to be talking about plowing forward, or leaving the past in the past. So this morning, let us hear the words of Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Most of you know that I am an avid Star Wars fan. If you've been in my office, you can tell that by the many collectible Star Wars things I have. I remember going with my mom when I was 5 years old to see the first Star Wars film. She wanted to go see it, and she took me with her, and we rode the bus, and we got there, and I was hooked ever since I was 5 years old. I've kept up with Star Wars. My kids are in Star Wars. It's a part of who I am, and the reason I like Star Wars is not because it's a story of good versus evil. It's a story of individuals who are struggling with their past, struggling with letting go of the past and moving forward into the future. And the one particular scene I love comes from Empire Strikes Back, when Luke and Darth Vader are having a conversation, and Luke turns to him and says, "I can sense there's still good in you, Father." And Darth Vader's response is, "It's too late for me, son." Darth Vader had already lost hope. That is my favorite movie scene of all times, because it resonates with me that on a daily basis, I have to make that same choice. I can say, you know what? There is still hope that lies ahead. Or I could be like Darth Vader and say, there is no hope. It's all lost. So don't even bother, because it's not going to matter. You see, we cannot move forward if we continue to live in our past. We cannot move forward if we continue to hold on to our baggage. When we do that, then yes, there is no hope for us. We need to let our past baggage go, for better, for worse, whatever it might have been, and we need to move on, and we need to move forward, and we need to live in God's presence, His peace, His reality. We need to leave our past in the past. Listen to the words that Paul gives the Galatian church this morning from Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Again, he's saying it is a freedom in Christ that we have, but don't let ourselves be weighed down from the things of our past that can hold us back and can make us a slave to our past because of the freedom we have. Paul is saying here, leave the past in the past. Stand firm in that new freedom that you and I have found in Christ. Don't go back to the way things were. God has something new for us, and God wants us to move forward, Paul says. And what new things spring up in our lives if we're stuck in the past? Jesus even addressed this in Luke 9, Verse 62, no one who puts a hand to plow and looks back at it is fit for the service of kingdom of God. Now, that verse might resonate with some of you because you remember that was Pastor Jim Garner's theme verse when he was here as a pastor, when he would say, you can't plow backwards, you can only plow forward. And that is what God is talking about here, that we can't move forward if we're stuck in our past. Last weekend, we had charge conference at St. Mark's United Methodist Church, and Pastor Helen is the pastor at the church, and she oversaw it. And she started out by giving a devotion of a fig tree. And she was talking about this fig tree that she had in her yard that grew and was huge and had bountiful figs on, that she'd go out and pick a fig anytime she wanted to from it. But then the fig tree began to kind of die off a little bit because it was getting overgrown. And so she called in a tree person, and the tree person said, well, I have to prune that tree. I'm going to have to take it down where it's basically nothing, replant it, and then it'll begin to bear fruit again. So Pastor Helen did that, and she said that that tree went from being this bountiful tree of giving out figs to this little tiny thing in the ground that was barren. And she said she, remember, walked out for a couple months and just kept looking at the tree saying, that tree will never bear fruit again. That tree is going to die. That tree will never be like it was before. That tree is just going to die. There is no hope for it. And she kept walking out, and finally, several months after she walked out, there was this little tiny leaf that was sprouting from that fig tree that looked like it was left to die, showing there were still signs of life in it. And sure enough, as the time went on, the fig tree began to grow and grew and bloomed, and she was able to pick her first fig tree off from that tree that was replanted. You see, I don't know about you, but we are a lot like that fig tree at times, that we can feel like we are barren, there's no hope, there's no reason to go on, that we'll never once again see the excitement we had in life, the joy we had in life, the peace we had in life, that we just kind of feel like we're like that barren fig tree, we're never going to have fruit again, so we're just going to stay there and not do anything because there's no hope for us. We wonder, well, I gave myself over to God, I gave my baggage over to God, but yet I still feel like that fig tree. I don't see any fruit, I don't see any blossoms, but I gave everything over to God, but yet I'm still here. I'm still wondering if anything will ever change. We wonder if God will be true to His Word. And then as time grows, we begin to see a little shoots come up, a little leaf, and we begin to see that, yes, God is working, God took our baggage, and God is doing a new thing in us. It just takes time. We cannot grow and produce fruit if we're continuing to live in the past and move backwards. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take time to start seeing some fruit again. It's going to take time to see what God's doing in our lives. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will happen. We will begin to bear fruits. And our baggage that we had will eventually turn into something good and fruitful. Because the best is yet to come. We just sang about that, didn't we? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. The best is yet to come. That there's not anything in this life that can keep us from God's love, because the best is yet to come. No matter what we're going through, no matter what baggage we're holding on to, the best is yet to come if we trust God. You see, I resonate with that fig tree. Because I think a lot of times when I'm up here and you're out there, you might say, well, Pastor, that's great. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm holding on to. Pastor, you're great. You have a wonderful family. You have a great life. Everything's perfect for you, I'm sure, Pastor. And you just don't know what it's like to be holding on to this baggage, wondering if there's ever going to be any hope for me. Well, I disagree with that. I disagree with that because I remember what the end of my year of 2019 was like. I remember on Christmas Eve how that was for me when I was served divorce papers on Christmas Eve. wondering, what was I going to do next? And then COVID hit shortly after that, and going, great, now we have to shut the church down on top of it all. Now what's going to happen? And then several things happened as we went through the process of trying to reopen. Individuals were leaving the church because they didn't like what was going on. Letters were written to different individuals. And I began to wonder, okay, God, is there any hope here? This isn't looking good. Are things going to ever change in my life? I resonated with that fig tree going, am I ever going to bear fruit again? Things were going great. Things were wonderful. I could pick figs from a tree, and all of a sudden, I was replanted. I was barren, and I was wondering, will I ever bear fruit again? I had to make a choice. Am I going to plow ahead and move forward, or am I going to stay backwards and focus on everything that was going on? Was I going to stay in the past? Or was I going to trust God and move forward? And I stand here today to tell you that the reason I am before you is not because of anything I've done, but because of the grace of God. Because you know why that barren fig tree in Pastor Helen's yard grew? It was the soil it was planted in. The soil it was planted in had life under it, which gave life to that tree to grow. And that soil that planted me firmly in God, with God and the Holy Spirit watering me and nurturing me, allowed me to grow and develop so that I could be here today before you. Because even when we're barren and we wonder, can we move forward? God is still working. God is moving. God is a way maker. He is a promise keeper. When there is no way, God makes a way. We have a choice to make. Do we plow forward and move forward, or do we hang our heads down and go, woe's me, there's no hope, why bother? Because I can tell you, if you do that, then yes, you're right, there's no hope, and you might as well not bother. But when you begin to plow forward little by little by little, all of a sudden, we begin to see how God works, and in God's timing, folks, the best is yet to come. In the midst of everything that has gone on, God is still faithful. He will never leave us or forsake us, but He goes before us. And now I look back, and I can say, God, wow, you were right. There were some bigger things to come. I got three amazing young boys that are turning into three amazing young men. I look at the fact that I have an amazing wife that I get to partner in ministry with, who has helped me become a better person. I look at the fact that I have gained four children that are really great, and their wives, and two grandchildren. I look and I see where we're going as a church, that we had Wednesday night meals that had some 50 people that attended each week. We're preparing for a Thanksgiving meal in which last year we served 200 people. That we're doing exciting things and God is moving us forward. That we are not stuck in the past, that we're plowing ahead because the best is yet to come. But we have to stay focused on the future. We can't hold on to the past. There is so much more that God wants to do in your life and in my life and in this church, but we have to let go of things. We have to say, God, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. And God says, once you do that, the best is yet to come. One season, David was a shepherd boy. The next season, he was a king. One season, Ruth was working in a field. The next season, Ruth owned a field. Why? Because we serve a God of turnaround. We serve a God who says, once you give me your stuff, I will take it and I will make it into something good, because I am a God of turnaround. The best is yet to come. John 14:2 says that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the one who set the example for us, that we need to fix our eyes on him. And each and every day when we do that, we have the hope of knowing that things are going to get better, that it might not be tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, but things will get better if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That as a church and as fellow believers, we need to be excited about what God is going to do in the future. And we can't do that if we're stuck in the past and living in the past. We need to have that same excitement as we move forward in our Christian life and as we move forward as a church. That same excitement that you have when you're retiring from a job and you say, I finally am able to retire. I put in all this time and energy and I can finally retire. That same excitement. That same excitement you have for when a child or a grandchild is born. That same excitement when you're looking forward on going on that upcoming vacation that you've been looking forward to for a year. We need to have that same excitement in our Christian lives and in our church, to continue to run the race that God has called us to. But still, many of us stay trapped. Many of us still hold on to our baggage. Many of us continue to look behind us instead of forward in front of us. Folks, we cannot plow forward if we keep looking in the past. I have never once seen a farmer, or an Amish man for that as well, that he's decided he's going to start plowing his field and stopped and all of a sudden started going backwards. Why is that? Because the farmers know the only way to get a good crop, to see that little tiny seed developing to grow, is to continue to plow forward, folks. And through that patience of that farmer, that little seed begins to grow and develop until it shoots up to be corn or soybeans or whatever it might be, because a farmer continued to go forward even when it was difficult, even in the rain, the cold, the snow, the thunderstorms, whatever it might have been, didn't give up and continued to move forward. The best is yet to come, even when we can't see it, that we have to walk by faith and not by sight, and that is hard to do. It is hard to do when we're bombarded with so many things and we go, well, I can't move on this because this is all I see. And God says it's by faith, not by sight. You see, it's really easier for us to follow God if we know what God's blueprint for our life is. I know that. I've asked God many times, God, could you just give me a little blueprint here? And I can just like put that on my little desk and I can see what I'm supposed to do today, tomorrow, and the next day. And that way I can follow it and not mess things up. Well, that's not what God does. God says, do you trust me? Like we talked about last week. And if you do trust me, do you trust that I have a future and a hope for you? Because that's what walking by faith is. Walking in faith is saying that even when I don't feel like it, the best is still yet to come. The hardest lesson that I have had to learn and that I hate is I cannot be in control all the time. I know about you, but I like to control things. And guess what? We can't control anything. And that is very frustrating at times because we like to control things. We like to make the outcome we want to have out. And it's really hard when we have to let go of things because it means we're no longer in control of things. And that's the hardest thing to do because each and every one of us likes to have control of our lives. We like to have a say in what goes on in our lives. And that's not how the world works, folks. There are very few things that we have a say in our lives. And probably about 5% of that, and the next 95% is out of our control. That's what walking by faith is and not by sight is, saying, you know what? God, I'm trusting you. I'm giving control over to you. You see the big picture. I don't. I only see the here and the now. Saying to God, it's yours. It's not mine. You see, we have to choose every day to move forward to a path that's unknown, a path we don't know where God's going to lead us or take us, a path in which God says, just trust me, in which that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if we have an earthly tent we live in that's destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith and not by sight. Did you catch that part here? That we're struggling. I just want to go to heaven. I want to have eternal life. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of this life being so crazy and chaotic. Why can I just go to heaven? And what does he say here? He says, now the one who has fashioned us, and the very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. How do we give up our past and move forward? Because we have the guarantee of the Spirit as a deposit that lives in you and me, guaranteeing us for what is yet to come. That is how each and every one of us move forward in our lives and get through each day, is because of the Holy Spirit that has been deposited in our lives, that is the guarantee that says, yes, there is still more to come. But until that day happens, until you cross that eternal threshold, the power of the Holy Spirit will be enough to sustain you, to give you life, to give it abundantly to you, and to get you through every day. Think about Thomas. Thomas was an individual who doubted this. Thomas says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails are, and I put my hand to his side, I will not believe it. Then Jesus comes a week later and says to Thomas, well, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand, and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Talk about an awkward situation with Jesus. Oh, hi, Jesus. I guess you are alive. My bad. Sorry. Didn't mean to doubt you. You want to go for breakfast now, Jesus? Imagine that awkward conversation between Thomas and Jesus. Because Thomas was walking by sight and not by faith. How many times are we like Thomas in our lives, where we walk by sight and not faith? And Jesus comes to us and says, do you really need to touch me again? Do you really need to put your hand where my nail-scarred hands were? And we go, oh yeah, sorry about that, Jesus. Sorry for my lack of faith. Because it's really easy to be a Thomas, to walk by sight and not by faith. That's what it means to be a Christian, folks. It means to walk by faith. The challenge is believing Jesus for who he is and what he says he'll do for us. That in spite of our past, in spite of our trauma, in spite of our disappointments, in spite of the unknown that lies ahead, despite of everything you might hear in the news media, folks, guess what? We keep our eye on the perfecter of our faith, Jesus. We walk by faith, and God takes care of the rest. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing in our lives, in our church, in our community, and he has something in store for us here and in the future. The best is yet to come. We need to put down our baggage, stop living in the past, and we need to begin to plow forward each and every day as individuals and as a church. We need to plow forward by faith, trusting God and who he says he is, choosing to walk in that freedom that he gives, letting go of the baggage, beginning to travel light. I'm sure you are reminded of that wonderful Disney movie, Frozen, because you can't get that one song out of your head. And I'm sure you all know what song I'm talking about. Let it go, let it go. I could probably sing it by heart because I've heard it so many times in my household, because that is one of the favorite songs of Dylan. But in that song, it says, let it go, because the past didn't bother anyone anyway. Let it go. Move forward. It is time for us as a church to plow forward. It is time for us to move forward, because we serve a God of turnaround. This morning, when we leave this place, it's up to each and every one of us whether we're going to plow forward or we're going to plow backwards. It's up to each and one, every one of us, to cling to that promise or not to cling to that promise that God is a God of turnaround. Ruth was working in a field. She had nowhere to go. Her husband died. She had no hope. She had nothing. And the next thing you know, she gets married to Boaz, owns a field, and she has everything she could ever imagine, because she walked by faith and not by sight. She told Naomi, I will go with you, and your God will be my God. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I will trust in your God. And as a result, Ruth is a wonderful example we call the Kinsman Redeemer, in which that Ruth was redeemed from nothing, bought with a price, and was able to once again now have everything she imagined. A visual picture of what Jesus does to us. We have nothing, we are bought with a price, and now we have everything that we ever could think of and desire and imagine because of what Christ has done. Because God wants to turn us around. God wants to turn this church around, this community around. But in order to do that, we need to let it go.
To this morning's message, we're going to stand and we're going to sing together that there's power in the blood. It's Jesus's blood that gives us the power to let it go and to move forward in our lives. So please stand as we sing Power in the Blood.
Power.
about you, but I think we're living in some exciting times. And for me personally, there's some exciting times ahead as Melly and I are getting prepared to move in the parsonage, to be here in the community of Columbia, to be a part of what's going on here in this church and in the community. It's exciting to be thinking about them, be a part of it. It's exciting to look out here to see the potential we have. It's exciting to see what we're doing as a church. It's exciting to see how God has moved us from where we were at over here to where we're at here, to where he wants to move us over here. Why? Because God is a God of turnaround. God is a God who opens doors up for us if we trust him and rely on him. I don't know about you folks, but I am excited about the future of this church. I'm excited about the potential. I'm excited about where God is going to take us. And I hope that each and every one of you will come along with us on this ride as we go together and we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. May you go in peace. Amen.